This is WFAE's Morning Edition. I'm Lisa Wharf. As Mecklenburg's early voting begins this week, the race for three at-large seats on the school board enters the final stretch. If you haven't been paying attention, consider that the winners will help shape decisions on student assignment, school construction, and who serves as superintendent. Joining us to talk about the campaign and its consequences is WFAE education reporter Ann Doss Helms. Good morning, Ann.
Morning.
So what are the basics of this race?
You've got 13 candidates on the ballot, and the top three will get four-year terms on the school board. It's a nonpartisan race, so that means there was not a primary, and you won't see any party identification on the ballot. That can make it pretty tough for voters to sort through, and you've got generally low turnout in off-year elections, so I'm guessing there are a lot of folks who haven't thought much about who they're going to vote for. And, in fact, one of this year's candidates, Gregory Denley, admits this is going to be his first time voting in a school board race. He says he cares a lot about education, but until now he just didn't know much about who was running.
So why should voters make the effort to sort through 13 candidates?
Well, think about the most significant and controversial things that the school board did over the last 4 years, and then consider that they're all coming back in some form over the next 4 years. So there was a student assignment review. They changed boundaries and magnet programs. That's something that affects basically every neighborhood and property owner, regardless of whether you have kids. The board does that every 6 years, and the last one started in 2014, so that's about to cycle back around. Or think about school construction priorities. That's always controversial, and now it's even more complicated, because last year the school board voted to bump four suburban towns down the priority list because they got state permission to create municipal charter schools. So we can expect another school bond campaign in the next 4 years, and that project list is going to be interesting. And then, there's the revolving door superintendency. CMS has had six superintendents in the last 10 years, and two of them were forced out without any public explanation. Ernest Winston has a three-year contract now, but it's sort of this probationary one where the board has the option to dismiss him for any reason with 60 days' notice. So the new board members are either going to have to commit to Winston and figure out how to keep him, or start the whole process over again.
And that's been coming up on the campaign trail a lot, with several candidates criticizing the board for lack of transparency and instability in leadership. Here's candidate Annette Albright.
We have superintendents that come. We have superintendents that go. So failed leadership is the problem.
What else are you hearing from the candidates?
At a Black Political Caucus forum last month, there was a lot of talk about how students of color and students of poverty are trailing on virtually every measure of academic opportunity and achievement. Here's candidate Jordan Panetta.
We have extreme achievement differences between our kids of color and our students who are white. Our boys and our girls are reading below grade level. Again, I taught 10th grade English at West Mech. My average kid came to my classroom reading at a 6th grade reading level.
Then at a forum in Cornelius, there was more focus on suburban issues. We mentioned the controversy over the municipal charter schools. Gregory Denley says he wants to see the board rescind the resolution that would penalize Matthews, Mint Hill, Huntersville, and Cornelius for having that option. And candidate Duncan St. Clair told the Cornelius group that he's open to talk about splitting up the countywide district.
Areas so far away from the center of the city seem to be pushed to the side. And, oh, they want to go off on their own. But I tell you, if that's the solution, then I'm all for that being the solution.
How much change can we expect to see after this election?
Well, at least two of the three at-large members will be new because Erica Ellis Stewart and the board chair, Mary McRae, aren't running again. Vice Chair Elise Dashew is the only incumbent, and she's pitching her 4 years of experience on the board as the key to crafting long-term solutions to the district's problems. But however this election turns out, the majority of the board won't change. It's a 9-member board, and the 6 district representatives aren't up for election until 2021.
That's WFAE's education reporter, Ann Doss Helms. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
Early voting continues through November 1st, and Election Day is November 5th. For information about all of the candidates, there's a voter guide at WFAE.org. This is WFAE's Morning Edition.